Ladies and gentlemen, this is an interview I've really wanted to do for a long time. Imagine sitting in the Empire. Imagine seeing Edward Scissorhands in front of you as a dance piece, an amazing dance piece, and seeing a young man called Dominic North portraying this incredible character on stage in dance. I wanted to speak to him ever since then, and I've now got him on the phone. Hello, Dominic.
Hello there, how you doing?
I'm well. I'm so pleased you're talking to me. First of all, I do Panto at the Empire every year. I'm a working comic. I've done 29 Pantos and I've worked with many dancers over the years and seen them progress to wherever. Dance is the most amazing art form, isn't it?
I think it's right up there. I mean, I love it and I love watching it and been a part of it. And yeah, I think it's great to have as a job if you're lucky enough to have it.
Tell me who you are. Tell me about Dominic North.
Dominic North. I'm 31 years old. I grew up in like Leeds. I was kind of born and bred there till I was about 18, and then I went to dance school then full time. I started like in my, I think I was about 10, and my twin sister, she did a bit of dancing, and we used to go pick her up and that, and I said I wanted to have a go. And Mum was like, oh, sure, you ain't got enough nights a week because you do this, that, the other, you know. And then I kind of said, yeah. And then I went along and kind of just started like one class a week, then two classes a week. And didn't take it that seriously. It was just a hobby alongside, you know, other stuff, rugby, athletics, anything that I was interested in. And just carried it on through, really, until I realised when I was about 16, I'd maybe give it a go, like career-wise, and auditioning for like full-time courses all over the country and, you know, Leeds, Manchester and London. And then went to London Central School of Ballet because it had the best funding for me, and did like everything. You had to do contemporary and jazz and singing, and you know, if you don't make it as a certain type of dancer, you might need to go and do something else, or you know, they said you have to have a few strings to your bow. So I did that, and then I graduated when I was about 20 and kind of auditioned for a few things and fell into Matthew Bourne's company, New Adventures, doing Swan Lake, which was a piece I'd just studied for my A-levels the year before. And it's 12 years later, and I'm here doing principal roles and amazing work with him.
Right, let's go back to when you were a boy growing up doing dance. Was it a difficult time for you, or did your pals understand it? We have more and more male dancers now, but a few years ago, it wasn't a big thing to do.
No, I mean, early 90s, obviously there's people who are around my age and that who got a lot of stick for it and stuff, but I think the way I, my mates and the way I approached it as things, I don't know, because it wasn't like the ballet thing and Billy Elliot hadn't come out yet, and all I wanted to do was learn to dance for Michael Jackson because I loved his music videos. And it was like, and then by the time I was doing ballet and all these other things, and I started being in the paper and the Yorkshire Evening Post and stuff like that, I was getting like quite all right at it. And my mates at that point were like 14, 15, and it was kind of like, it was fine. I didn't get much, I feel bad because I didn't get any stick or any kind of bullying. And I kind of always thought that, I'm not the type of person to get bullied, but I was kind of like, if people would say something, oh, you do that, I go, yeah. And then that'd be the end of it. I don't know. It's a funny one because I feel.
No, that's great, but that's nice to hear. But that's nice to hear, Dominic, because it's, you know, why should it be like that? I mean, I go to loads of dance shows with all the young dance, all the kids who are in school, and they're going for competitions, and the atmosphere and amazing quality of dancers these days, and there's lots more boys coming through because it's not a sissy thing. Dance is dance.
Yeah. I think it's nice now that it's quite mainstream. You got, you know, you'd be strictly come dancing on a Saturday night, and you've got like diversity, people like this, you know, just dance in general in front of you. Like a lot of even I would say showbiz kind of soap or actors or people popping up in musicals in town and going on UK tours, and it's somehow it's more accessible, so then it's less stigma attached, I find, nowadays, you know. Yeah.
Which is how it should be. How it
of
should
course,
be.
Yeah. But we all knew that, didn't we? But now it's everybody else is coming around, you know, 20 years on. But There we go.
Looking back, you've made it, and you've got to stay there, and you've got to stay there because that you've got to keep up in your game. But looking back and seeing how many dancers who are listening right now who can't make a living at it but love it, why do you think it's happened for you?
Oh, I think all the cliches, really. Luck, hard work, and being at the right place at the right time. I mean, me especially. I mean, I got my first job with the company I'm in now through it was like a group of 20 guys. It was for Matthew Bourne Swan Lake that was supposed to go out at a certain time when I wouldn't have actually graduated yet, and it went out later in the year. Mm-hmm. And they had somebody drop out because of the tour change, and they needed a medium swan, and I'm 5'10", which fit the bill. You know, mm-hmm. I wasn't a signet, a little guy, or a big swan who was 6'2". So they went, oh, we need a medium swan, yeah, number 9 or 10. How funny is that? And then I went in
and they just
did the audition, yeah, and then said, oh, yeah. I remember going up to Matthew Boy at the end and saying, oh, I might have this other job. It was Panto, actually. And I was like, but I'd rather do this with you and kind of need to know soonish. And I was like, I'd never say that to him now. And I've known him for years. He's like a good mate. But yeah. And yeah, and from that, I rolled into that show for a couple of years and then went into the next show and then rolled on and did other work with him and created pieces with him. And now I'm in Leicester with the new show, The Car Man, which yeah. is touring again and is, you know, amazing.
Tell me about Matthew Bourne, because he has brought something brand new, and I don't know how to describe it, brand new to dance, and he makes me laugh, but he's scary. He's everything I've never seen in dance before.
Yeah, I think he's, because he got into dance very late as well, he's very much loves telling stories. He's very story-driven. He's like, he's a film buff, and he's a musical buff, and he loves those old MGM musicals, and he loves the ballets, and he loves so much stuff, and mm-hmm. he's such a visionary. He can listen to something or watch something and want to tell it, even if it's the same way as that or a different way or put his spin on it. And because he comes from that background rather than steps and steps, choreographing-wise, it's like direction. He kind of tasks things and thinks about things. He has like normality in his pieces, like normal looking people to tell a story. You know, if you've got a family with a kid and a dad, and so everybody's going to look different, or heights and sizes. It's not like going to see a corps de ballet, kind of everybody's the same shape and size. And then with that, he brings in humor or drama or sex or violence or whatever. It's telling that story, adult themes or fairy tale themes. You know, he's got this brain that I think very few people have, and he's amazing to work with.
He certainly is different in dance. Were you surprised the first time you ever saw Swan Lake, the way he's done it?
Yeah, of course. I knew the original, and it's funny because now it's totally reversed, but watching it and watching something different done, a piece of music that you've always just known what's happening at that point, mm-hmm. and then you're watching it, and that's not what's happening in his version. That's not. That's the thing with other his classical or Tchaikovsky scores, his Sleeping Beauty or his Nutcracker. I think it's funny sometimes. There's like a club scene in Swan Lake to classical music, but when you're watching it looks like they're dancing in a club in 1960s.
Yeah.
But because of what they're doing to the music, and that's the interesting part. When I first saw it and studied it, and then ended up performing in it the next year, it was mental.
Would you say that at one stage some people say that he bastardizes ballet?
I think at the beginning, I came in 10 years after he was quite big, and I think there was a lot of people like, oh, I don't know if you if you can't touch Swan Lake, it's the Holy Grail, isn't it? And I think they've softened, and I don't know, because I remember getting my first few interviews with the company when I was doing like the Prince and big roles in those shows. They were talking about the bad boy of dance, Matthew Bourne. And I was like, he's such the opposite of a bad boy. It used to make me laugh, because I was like, he's just like this lovely, modest, very unassuming guy, and he's nothing like a bad boy. But then, because he just ripped up, you know, what they thought of that and did his own thing, they created this persona of him. But I think, if anything, recently in the last 5 or 10 years, it's kind of come around, and the big ballet people just see it as another version of a show, or like we had, you know, massive classical dancers come and watch out last Sleeping Beauty. You know, Darcy Bustle was there saying, you know, it's an Aurora I would love to have played and performed in. And he's kind of come around. Everybody kind of respects him as he's not ballet, but he's got a place amongst them, and his work is valid, and that's nice as well, you know, to be accepted after putting a few noses out of joint, even if you didn't mean to, you know.
Because he's revolutionary. I'm talking to Dominic North. I've got to ask you about Edward Scissorhands. How did you feel about playing that? Because I went to see it at the Liverpool Empire, and it just stopped me in my tracks.
The first time I was pretty nervous. It was quite a few years ago. It was a part I kind of auditioned for, like, the understudy of, and I was performing another show at the time, and Matt said, I'll come down and we're just going to have a day with you guys in the studio and see what happens, and put the scissors on. And I was like, God, these aren't easy to dance in, and this and that. And then he told me that I was going to do the part on a train, actually, coming back from Milton Keynes. I remember it. And about 2 months later, it was like my opening show at the Sydney Opera House. And looking back, I'm glad I didn't realise all what it was, because I'd have been nervous at the time. I was just like, oh, yeah, I was going to do it. It was amazing. Such an iconic film and figure, and it was a great time. And then when the show was coming back in the last tour, he approached me again and said, oh, would you like to play the character? And I was like, yeah, love to. And it was like getting back on a bike. You know, at first I was a bit like, oh, here we go. And getting back in the leather suit and the metal, and it's heavy and this. But, I mean, and then the physicality of it came back, and the walk and the quirkiness and his weird ways being embraced by people in the town. And it was a great role to do, great show, and, you know, awesomely received this time, actually.
And how did you wear those unbelievable hands?
Well, they're kind of like leather, metal, spring-loaded, about a foot long, like strapped to your forearms, and then obviously the suit on top of it. And it took us a while to get in it. It was about an hour and 15. Edward's call from putting the scars on and the wig and everything, and then by the time you're in it, it's just a giant, I'd say, corset or straitjacket. But it's they tell me it's worth it because it looks great from the audience.
Oh, it does. So. It looks absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Dominic, tell me, because people don't understand. They see you on stage. I mean, people that don't understand dance, they see you on stage. They have no idea, no idea in a million years the work that goes into what you're doing. Tell us the average day when you're on tour.
We start with class every day, whether it be ballet, contemporary, or sometimes we have a body conditioning as well. And if it's a double show day, we'll do that for an hour with 15 minutes. Notes or partner swaps or fight calls in this current show, because there's a lot of fight calls to be safe with that. And I mean, today we're in it. Yeah, everybody thinks we're going to get in at like 6 in the evening, but today we're in at 11, say. Mm-hmm. And we had a 2:15 show and a 7:30 show. But even on a one show day, we'll come in for rehearsals or notes or thoughts. Because the shows evolve, because we do big tours, like 200 show plus, and, you know, every 50 shows, something might change. People do different parts, different roles. And Matt's there all the time, and he's thinking things and slight character things here or musicality things here. Because that's why we keep going back to shows. He's just got a knack of evolving them. And it is hard work. I mean, and we're in a different place every week most of the time, unless we're doing a big season at some big dance house somewhere. But it's enjoyable work. It's good work. You know, usually if you're sweating down the gym or doing something like that, it can get a bit repetitive. But this, you're fooled into working hard with fun. I think we're lucky.
Can you ever party? Can you ever have a blowout food-wise?
Food? Well, I'm pretty lucky, to be honest, with food. I think I've inherited good metabolisms off my parents. I've always pretty been skinny. Not that I eat rubbish or all. I'm quite... but I can eat a lot, and I need to. You know, some people go, you probably can't eat before the show. Yeah. And then I'll be like, I am eating big before a show, and then they go, but you probably don't eat after. So like, no, I'm eating big after, but I've burnt a lot of calories. But blowouts, you can have the occasional one. You know, we get to go nice places and have nice parties and that, and as long as you haven't got much to do the next day, or you're careful, or, you know, if you've got a gala, you can dress up and drink with some friends, you know, that's always good.
Simple as that. Now, tell me, the biggest problem for every dancer, and I've seen so many, is the sad injuries, which is like footballers. How bad is the problem within dance?
Again, I think it's luck of the draw. When you're performing at your physical peak or something, there's things that come out in people's bodies that you wouldn't necessarily know if you were just not pushing yourself to that limit. So people have, they might have a weak knee or ankle or back, and you'll never know until something happens. And to be honest, we're lucky we have a tour physio with us, and we can kind of, people maintain their bodies, and some of the parts in the show are not as grueling as others. And, you know, because our age range is not like a normal company. It's 19 to, I mean, on the last tour of Edward that you saw, it was 19 to 48 was the ages of people on stage. So the people that can keep going longer can, and it's a tough one, injuries. I've seen some people get bad injuries. I've had a couple over the years. I've had a knee op on each knee, just through wear and tear, to be honest. But if anything, they're better than what they were before. But I don't know. It's that thing. You just don't know. You just hope and rest well and look after yourself, warm up, cool down, all the things they tell you to do, ice, and hope for the best, really. Just enjoy it while you can.
Do you think about problems later on in life, or does that never cross your mind?
Nah. I mean, there's that thing, like, when you're in your mid-20s and people ask you, like, do you think you do it for this long and that long? And I would say, I'll give it 10 years, you know, see what happens when I'm 30. And I'm 32 in August, and if anything, I've given it less thought recently than I used to then. I think I've just thought, you know, I've always just seen where it takes me in roles and been happy as, you know, Larry.
So what's the ambition for you? I mean, you've done some sensational dance parts. You've really broken barriers and been involved in a company that breaks all the rules and comes out on top with the most amazing pieces.
I think it's just now we've set that bar is to keep with it. And now I've been lucky enough to do, you know, original shows with Matthew and his recent repertoire, and I'd love to keep going with that. And even now, like the last few shows I've been involved with, I've been a rehearsal assistant or dance captain. So now I find that I'm going back to shows that this time we came back to the Carman and it had last been done 8 years ago. There's only two of us that had done it before. So I end up being the person that has to help them put on the show or teach material or, you know, note it. And that's been really, you know, amazing to be a part of and interesting and do artistic kind of management stuff. And so I don't know, really. I'm happy at the moment being
just working
this on stage and this behind the scenes and just being part of this company.
Dominic, here's an interesting question. I struggle with lines. What about dance steps? Is it difficult? You're on stage, I don't know, sometimes 2 hours, and you've got to, how do you learn dance steps?
Well, some people are different, some people digest it differently, and I've always been okay with, like, learning steps, but I'm not the quickest by any means, but I'm not the slowest, but we just get drilled, basically. You keep going and you learn it, the counts, or some people can't count music but just hear it in the accents, and you have to kind of know what kind of dancer you are, what kind of brain you have. Some people need to feel it, or some people need to look at themselves in a mirror to correct themselves. It's very, very different for a lot of people. And in our shows, everybody knows two roles. So you learn two simultaneously, because with the illness and injury, and you might get shows off here and there, and then you have different partners. And it, for a long tour, it actually keeps things fresher and better. But in the early stages, it's a lot trickier, because you might do the same number but on different sides or on a different leg, or you might do it in one line but then just to the side or to the back, and it can confuse you, definitely.
Tell me what you do here. Now, I make a mistake if I deliver a line to somebody, I can cover it up and ad lib. If you do a wrong dance step, how do you get out of it?
Exactly the same. That's part of my career. Loud and proud, I say, just like wrong and strong. Wrong and strong. If you smile it out, if it's that kind of number, or if you just pretend like you meant it, they're everyone in the audience will believe you. Because I've said it before, they're nobody's looking at your feet or your right, unless obviously the resident directors and the dance captains are, and you'll know about it later. But I've done stuff on stage where I've gone boom, 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 and then the next day in notes, they've gone, oh, to somebody else, they've gone, oh, you're out then. I think you were a bit early. And then I've looked over, given them the wink. They haven't said, oh, and then later I've gone, mate, that was totally me. I went on 7 and it was supposed to be 8. Yeah. But because I did it with such conviction, I've even fooled them before. So it's the same. It's trickier, to be honest, in big group numbers than it is if you're doing a solo or a duet. You can kind of go off on one and, you know, cover it. But those big numbers, I think they give you a couple of them. And then once that's happened, you're like, come on, you've got to get it right. You can't do it too often, you know what I mean?
Dominic, I can guarantee that I'm in the show report every single night. Without fail.
Yeah.
Right, before we leave you, and I'm so glad you spent some time with me, we've got to give some advice to people out there who want to be in dance and want to maybe do what you're doing.
Yeah. I'd say do as much as you can, like immerse yourself in it, whether it be classes or things that you don't think you're good at. Like, I was never a great tapper, but I'm glad I kept it up because you never know when you might need that skill or that job. Or just make it's sometimes funny just to make yourself employable or whatever. But also, I find now is just to go see a lot of stuff, like plays, musicals, ballets, whatever it is. Because then you know what there is out there, and you know what you might be good for or what you might want to do. Or then when you're auditioning for stuff, you'll know about it. There's nothing worse than somebody just turning up for the audition for the sake of it and not knowing what they're auditioning for. They don't know the choreographer, the director, or the show. Or it's kind of you've got to just be a part of it, I think, to help with that.
Also, the dedication. There's no point in doing it if you're not dedicated, is there?
Yeah, no. Like evenings and weekends, that's your hard work time. It's not the 9 to 5. You're gonna tour. I usually get one day off for Christmas, and I don't get to see, you know, all the weddings, and you can't book holidays, and although you kind of miss out on that stuff, but it's worth it in the end. But yeah, there is masses of hard work and years of grueling training, but with a smile on your face.
Dominic, finish off. What have we got to look forward to seeing you in?
At the moment I'm in The Carman, which is a version of Carmen the Opera by Bizet. It's the same score, but it's a piece based on the Postman Only Rings Twice.
Yeah.
Another dance theatre piece of Matt's, but it's kind of more of an adult one as opposed to the like modern classical fairy tale of Edward. It's more of a 14-year-old plus thing, I would say, because there's adult themes and that kind of thing. It's a town that gets, a drifter comes into a town and changes it for the worse, as it were, and it's kind of the story of how that town unravels, and my character actually gets framed for a murder he didn't commit and then comes out of the prison to seek revenge on the people that framed him, that kind of thing.
Wow. Dominic North, heavy. You're a talented, nice young man who's given us an insight into dance. May you dance for an awful long time. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you very much for having me. I can say it's been great.